Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is Wednesday, February the 13th, and it is Michael's Happy Eternal Day. Happy Eternal Day to you, sweetie.
Thank you.
And we want to welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because it makes it your show. Thank you, Dr. Tim, for turning on the switchboard. Michael and I are headed over to a shop where we have internet connection, and so we'll be on there here in just a few minutes. But thank you for stepping in. We had a special treat for Michael's Eternal Day and just got finished there. So welcome, Michael, to the show.
Thank you, sweetie. Delight to be here and an honor and a privilege to be of support and to just have this awesome opportunity to engage in the ancient Aramaic tools and teachings of forgiveness that empower individuals to live as true human beings. Our definition of a human being that of hold the newborn child, you know what a human is, and our thesis is if you're not living as that, then there's work to be done, and we're here to support you in that work. The work is that of forgiveness, the work of changing what's going on inside of you, as opposed to thinking that someone else is the cause of what goes on within you, recognizing that we are each responsible for the output of our own minds, the content of our own minds, and the realities that we engage in. And so the process of forgiveness is that of going inside of oneself and removing those hostilities, fears, griefs, pains, traumas that never belonged in a human system to start with. And as we let go of those things, recognizing the truth about who we are, that we are this awesome, active presence of love, and that's how we're designed to live. So we're delighted to be here. Dr. Tim, how do you be today?
Doing very well, thank you. Blessed to be alive and working with people. A beautiful sunny day. Glad I had the option to open up the chat room and the enjoyed the call yesterday and the opportunity to share a little bit about parenting, and got a couple of requests for the handbook. And
fabulous.
And as I look at the board, we've got one person with their hand up already.
Well, let's listen and see what they have to say.
So this would be area code 352. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello? Give us the name. Where are you calling from?
Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
And who are we talking with?
Terry.
Hey, Terry. How can we support you today?
I've been attending your workshop at the Unity Church of Gainesville the past 2 or 3 days now. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm coming to know that I need to do some forgiveness work, and I'd like to know how I go about doing that.
Okay, well, the core of the process, of course, is the reality management worksheet, which is the worksheet that we went over on Sunday in Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And to find more information on that, if you go to our website, whyagain.org, on the upper left-hand corner of that site, you'll see a link that says Start Here. If you click that Start Here link, that will take you into a menu, and the first item in the menu is chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, on the Aramaic Forgiveness Process. It explains the process. And then the next link is the actual worksheet, the one that we used on Sunday in the workshop, if you were there. And then the next five links are radio shows where there's a full set of instruction. There are five different radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process. And so that would be the starting point. And as you start to use that worksheet process and questions develop, of course, then the next step is pick up the phone and call the show. And if you have specific questions on the how-to, that's what we're here to support you with.
Well, good. Thank you.
Delighted. Were you at the workshop on Sunday?
No, I wasn't able to be there.
Okay. Well, the five radio shows are awesome. The worksheets that we did on the show, that's where somebody's called in like you have, and they've been having challenges with the worksheet. And so we walk them through the whole process. And so there are actually 5 hours. You can just click on those links. If you right-click on your computer, then your computer will give you the option to save to a target, and you just put them on your hard drive where you know where they are, and then double-click, and you'll be listening to us walking somebody and guiding somebody through the worksheet process. Of course, the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, you can download from the site, or if you're going to be at the church the next couple of nights, the book is there, as well as DVDs, CDs, lots of different ways to get to that work, to that worksheet process.
Does that book, Why Is It Happening to Me Again, have the steps for forgiveness?
It does, yes. The
okay.
worksheet that I was talking about, the second link, is the step-by-step worksheet process. Chapter
okay.
24 guides you through it, as do each of the radio shows. The chapter 24 I'm actually working on updating, and so it doesn't – the steps don't exactly match the worksheet as it is now, but the radio
okay.
show does, so – if you listen to those radio shows, that'll walk you through the whole process. And then, as I say, if you come up with questions once you've done that, then we're just delighted to be here for you to call in and ask your questions and get support in doing the process and learning the refinements of the worksheet.
Well, good. Thank you so much.
Delighted. And, of course, the worksheet is a skill set that you develop over time. A lot of people pick it up the first time and figure, well, I should be able to handle anything in my life with this. Is that right? Well,
right.
Yes, you could handle everything in your life with it, but it's like every other tool. It's going to take some practice and some work. What we suggest that you do when you start doing your first worksheets is that you pick very, you know, small, minor irritations and upsets, situations to work on so that you get a handle on the process and the skill of using it. We wouldn't put a 10-year-old child who says, I want to learn to play baseball, up in front of the pitcher for the New York Yankees the first time you put a bat in their hand. You're going to
right.
teach them the process, and then over time with practice, they'll be able to hit that pitch, and that's when you can start to approach the more major things in your life and work through them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome.
Well, that was my question. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
We're absolutely delighted, and as you start to use the worksheet, please call back in with questions and refinements. Everyone, even the smallest detail, can open a space not only for you but for many others who are wondering about the process.
Okay.
So thank you. Appreciate your call. All right. Blessings. Thanks, Terry. So, Dr. Tim, is David with us today by chance?
Well, what would that area code be?
David is 417, 417-252.
All right. I don't see a 417.
No. Okay.
Cool. We do have a hand up, another hand up.
Well, let's give a listen.
This would be area code 423.
That is actually me, and I am just signed on. So we'll take the other one. I think we got one more out there, a 352.
I think we just finished them.
Oh, okay.
But
so that means that if you are on the phone and you have a question for us, if you push the button, number one, that will put your hand up in the queue, and we'll know that you want to talk to us and you'll be next in line. So what's your question? What have you been working with? What do you, can we support you with in terms of your life, your work, your process, and or the use of any of these tools, whether it's the codependence worksheet, whether it's the purpose worksheet, the commitment? How can we support you? What would supporting you look like right now? If you put your hand up, you'll be next in queue. Your question's there. And if you're shy, you know, do a worksheet on shyness. Do a real quick worksheet and go ahead and push the button anyway and ask your question. I know that there are questions out there because I know that every time I present the workshop and I get down off the platform, there's a lineup of people and everybody's got, well, I just have one question. It's a simple one. And, of course, it's not usually a simple one. But, you know, it's like, how do I work through this issue with my mother-in-law that's been going on for 50 years? It's just a little two-minute question. And so I know there are questions. So push one. Ask the question. Let's see what's happening.
In the meantime, you might mention how our schedule is flowing, and we're going to be up there with Dr. Tim as well, so we're looking forward to that. And we've got two intensives going.
Yes, lots happening. We are in Gainesville, Florida right now, and we've got two more workshops tonight, tomorrow night in Gainesville. We'll be speaking tonight. We're doing actually a lesson from A Course in Miracles, what I consider to be one of the most important and most misunderstood lessons in the Course, entitled, What is the World? And so that's what we'll be doing tonight. And tomorrow night we'll be talking about codependence to interdependence. We'll be presenting that codependence worksheet. And then we'll head off on Sunday evening, actually 5:30 until 9, kind of an unusual time for us to be doing things. We'll be doing, why is this happening to me again, in Ocala, at the Yoga Center there. Flyers available on the website. We'll be doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're off on Thursday. We'll do Friday night. And then on Saturday, we'll do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So if anybody wants to join us, we'd be delighted to have you in Ocala. Then we'll be down in Orlando, where we've been working to get something set up, but it just isn't clicking, isn't gelling at this moment. So we'll hold the space that may gel before we get there. And then the next week we'll be in St. Petersburg, at St. Petersburg Unity, doing a week of workshops there.
Actually, you're going to be in Sarasota the Sunday before that.
That's right. Yeah, if that all comes together, we'll be at Sarasota Unity doing Don Jackson's afternoon workshop or evening. Pardon me, afternoon service at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. If all falls in place, we just started to set this up last night, and it's yet to be confirmed. But we'll be doing the service for Don Jackson, and Don Jackson will be coming up and speaking here at Unity of Gainesville if all that works out. So that's kind of fun to see how the circles unfold. So we'll be doing a Sunday service 5 o'clock at Unity of Sarasota, and then the next week in St. Petersburg. So we've got lots happening. And then on March 17th, St. Patty's Day, we do have a couple of spaces in the codependence to interdependence residential intensive in Palm Coast. So if somebody's ready to dig in and do some work, that's where we'll be doing that March the 17th. And we'll start a second codependence to independence intensive March the 29th in Palm Coast, Florida. So we'd be delighted to have you there, delighted to have you join us. It's a beautiful facility. We're right on the Intercoastal Waterway. You walk out the door and 30 feet from the door, you're standing on the dock. And last year, we got to see manatees and dolphins going up and down the, I guess it's the new river there. I'm not sure exactly what they call that part of the Intercoastal. And if you turn and walk in the other direction, and just a short distance, you're on the beach, a quarter of a mile or so. You're on the Atlantic Ocean. So should be an
And then when we leave, when we leave there, then we head to, we're working on something in Maryland Heights, Missouri, before we go on up to Woodstock where Tim is. So it's full schedule. It looks like we have a couple of hands up. So you want to go to a call?
Sure, let's say hello.
Area code 765, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. This is Sunny in Indiana.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Wanted to thank you for yesterday on the Native American thing. I called my friend, and he was like, yeah. He's very intrigued, and he's like, yep, I'm on it, and he's still looking over the website. And so I'm very, very pleased to hear that because he is very instrumental as a healer. He's a Native American holy man and a psychologist and so on, and works with substance abuse, mostly children ages 4 to 21, and he is a lifelong friend of mine since I was 17 years old. So very, very pleased with that. And
I'd be delighted, if it's appropriate, I'd be delighted to have a personal conversation with him, too. If you want to give me his name and number, I'll be glad to give him a call and say hello.
Okay. Well, his name is George Anziano, so that Jeannie can hear this if she's checking the blog site, so she'll be familiar. It's George Anziano. And I'll go ahead and text you his name and number. And I would be very, very pleased if you would do that. Thank you for offering. At last Mind Shifter that I had requested on Safe for Me to Be in Overwhelm, I'm not getting that. what I've got going on is it's probably going to take me into the goal-setting stuff that I don't fully understand, that other worksheet, but it's a heart chakra, like a pain on my left side, and it kind of locks. I am dealing with a lot of stuff, and like reality type stuff that, you know, la la la. But it is, I'm not getting to sleep at night for the past few nights, and that experience, that physical experience that I had, I know that it's huge breakthrough stuff, and with this being primarily in the heart chakra, and the left side speaks volumes, but I've really got to get through whatever this is. Do you hear anything that I'm not putting my finger on here? Because it is about overwhelm. It's like a bombardment of things that I'm expected to answer to, condone for, and get taken care of. Almost a comedy of errors, if you will, and the timing.
What are you doing your worksheets on?
I've been kind of spreading them out, you know, between my daughter and the worksheets for my friend George, and praying that, you know, he can get his hands on this. You know, I kind of use the worksheets in a variety of ways that have really been bringing forth a lot of really wonderful effects. And I don't know if that's part of the overwhelm, is that I'm moving so much energy, you know, just so many things really are coming. It's all good. It's just so much of it. I mean, and this goes back to me prioritizing from months ago when I first approached you. It's all still kind of there. I'm just prioritizing
energy. So the question I was asking, though, that specifically, what are you doing worksheets on? For instance, if you're finding yourself getting into overwhelm with trying to get this to George, then your worksheet would look like, I cancel my need for George to get this material.
Okay.
If him not getting it, being receptive to it, brings up something in you, what's that something about? That's what you want to forgive and get rid of. So, for instance, if it brings up, you know, why doesn't he accept what I'm offering him? Am I not good enough? It might be, you know, a variety of things. So what specifically are you doing worksheets on in that arena? And then when it comes to your daughter, it's pretty general to just say, well, my daughter, but specifically, what's coming up for you around relationship with your daughter, and what is the topic of the worksheets? I need some input in that regard in order to assist you there.
Okay. Mostly the most expedient is my business and closing out my business and finding a place to put It's a barn full of stuff and where to put it in this these weather conditions, what to do, and it's a huge process. But if I can just find peace to sustain, somehow I'm still trying to convert the energy into my body, which we know is not possible, but it is. And yeah, I just I need to be strong right now. I need to feel good in order to handle any of what I'm facing.
So then what I'd suggest to do is do worksheets on self and canceling, working with the goal of needing to be strong and canceling your goal to be strong, and look at what's in your mind under being strong that needs to be processed out.
Okay.
And then canceling the goal to feel good, which of course sounds ridiculous, but if I have, let's say, hostility about not feeling good, if I have fear about not feeling good, the way that I access and get to process out that hostility or for that fear or that fear is by canceling the need for that, which opens a space for me to look at the deeper parts of my mind that hold that particular energy. So what I would suggest you do is perhaps do some worksheets in those arenas, and then if there are specific questions, we can support you with you know, understanding or moving forward in those arenas. I'd be happy to.
Okay. It is quite multifaceted and kind of hard to go into with you, especially on the show, and I know there's others, without sharing part of the story to get a handle on it. And it's really a huge blessing from the totality. It's an opportunity for starting my whole life over. And this is essentially were choices that I made while I was very toxic with the Mercury stuff, and it's just putting those things to rest now. Is
so. So is there? So is there fear about starting your life over?
No, I'm actually very.
Is there
excited.
Trepidation?
No, really, no. It's just the domino effect is what I've got going on here, and keeping up with it, and that's where the overwhelm would play into it, and it's. Like everything, these worksheets work, and everything's happening like right now. And it all wants to happen at one time.
So then canceling your need to keep up with it all. You know, keep looking at every goal your mind holds where you think about that goal and you go over into overwhelm. And as you cancel your need for that, that's where you get to the root of the overwhelm. And that's how when you expose that to love, that begins to dissolve and things change. So that would be my highest input with the information that you've given us. And we'll hold the space.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
It's still rather vague, but I thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, we have another caller. Area code 910. You're on the air.
Welcome, 910.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Who are we speaking with? Where are you calling from?
Wilmington, and this is Patsy.
Patsy, I
was wondering if you would like to elaborate for those of us who are not in the area where you're doing the workshop on what is the world from the Course in Miracles. If you'd like to, since that's one of the most misunderstood things, if you'd like to take a few minutes just to elaborate on that.
Oh, sure. I'd love to. That's an awesome idea. So in the Course in Miracles, the Course uses the word world in two different ways. And my experience with people is that they misapply the teachings of the Course because they don't comprehend which world the Course is speaking about. And so in this particular lesson, it starts out the question, the title of the lesson is, what is the world? And then the Course answers the world that it is teaching about. It answers what the world is that needs correction, that needs healing, that needs shift, that needs change. And so in a simple sentence, the Course says, the world is false perception. That's the opening line of that lesson. And so most people look out, they think they're looking out with their body's eyes at what's going on out there, and they say, well, Charlie offended me, so I'll forgive him. The Course does not invite you to forgive Charlie. The Course invites you to forgive the part of your mind that projects your pain, your trauma, your turmoil into your brain's image of Charlie and creates a whole world of false perception. So in that lesson, as you go through it, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but in that lesson, the Course uses the word world to represent the output of our mind's perception, the world that needs correction, and that it's always inviting us to change that world through forgiveness. Applying forgiveness to Charlie is not the Course's venue. And when people try to apply forgiveness to something outside themselves, something that involves something going on in what we might call the capital W world, there's an error. And, you know, the Course talks about the world that doesn't exist. And I've heard people say, well, in fact, let me share a story. I was on my way to speak at Unity in, let's see, what town was it? This goes back, 30 years ago. Now, just outside of Chicago. And I was all set up. We were set to do a week of workshops. And I got a call from the minister, and the minister said, I understand you teach A Course in Miracles. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, you're not welcome at my church. It's like, oh, what? What do you mean? Because I teach A Course in Miracles? He said, yeah. He said, the Course in Miracles, people here, it's been terrible for the church. I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, you know, these people believe that there's no world, and therefore whatever they do doesn't matter. And one of them actually used that, well, if there's no world, what does it matter? They actually stole from the church and said, well, you know, what does it matter? Because the world isn't real anyway. And it's a total misapplication of the principles of the Course. The Course says the world that doesn't exist is the world of false perception, the world between our ears, and that's the one that it aims at correcting. So if you think you're forgiving Charlie or Bill or Mary or Harry or the government or whoever or whatever, that's a misapplication of the Course. When you recognize that the Course is about teaching us to forgive those energies within ourselves, that is, remove those energies within ourselves that create the world of false perception, the one between our ears, then we now have an accurate application of the Course's principles. So in a nutshell, that's kind of the essence of that lesson. Does that make sense for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Good. Well, any other questions then? As I say, I don't have the lesson in front of me, so.
Thank you.
Any other questions in that regard?
No, I just thought that it would be appropriate to, for those of us who are not going to be in the area, to hear an elaboration of that.
Absolutely, yes. Well, hopefully at some point we've been looking at trying to connect to the place where we can do a video of that workshop so that we can make it available with our other videos, because it's such an important lesson to distinguish between the world of actuality, the one the Creator created that needs no correction and no change, and the world between our ears that has us bouncing off each other through these false perceptual images of each other that are all projections. And so what the forgiveness process does is it collapses our projections, it cracks open the hidden parts of the mind that need healing, and brings love to those parts of the mind. And as you bring love to those parts of the mind, the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, all the things that are at the root of false perception just tend to dissolve and disappear, and you get to live in a different world. So that's our job, is to support that happening, and of course to learn ourselves how to apply that in our world. And it's an interesting process, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So any other way we can support you, Patsy? Does that make sense for you?
No,
Absolutely.
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you next time we're up there again.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Any questions in the chat room? Or anybody with a hand up in the control panel?
There are no questions in the chat room. There were a couple that I've already answered. Somebody wanted to know when we were going to make it to Unity of Little Rock, and so I gave them some information about contacting us for our Westward tour that we'd have to see if it would fit in. And then someone else asked where were we going to be in Sarasota, and I said I would have to double-check that Dawn congregation had been using the Unitarian Universalist Church on Fruitville Road, but I'd have to check and see if that's where they're still meeting and let them know that tomorrow. And we do not have any hands up in the switchboard, so we've got 28 minutes left. There's a lot of people on the switchboard. Press 1, you'll be next in line.
Okay, and my understanding was that Don had moved his service from the Unitarian Church to the Unity Church, and perhaps that hasn't happened yet. I don't know, but I had understood it has. But we'll make sure that when we get a flyer up for it, when it's on our calendar, that we have the correct address. It's either going to be at the Unitarian Church, as you say, on Fruitville Road, or the Unity Church, which is on Proctor Road. I think it's 3301 Proctor, if I remember correctly. So if you have a question, press 1. We'd love to hear your sweet voice. We'd love to have the opportunity to respond and to support in whatever's going on in your world. Dr. Tim, have you been working with Course in Miracles at all? I know you've worked with James' work on the course, but with the course directly?
I haven't worked with the course directly except for when you've mentioned it in lectures and we've talked about it here on the internet show, and then I've looked it up and read some of the lessons in more detail, but I have not worked through the course, no.
Okay, cool.
I've had some wonderful insights, and Yayam has written some beautiful posts about people that have asked him to compare and contrast which is right, which is wrong, the Way of Mastery or the Course in Miracles, and he has some beautiful answers to that about how it isn't a matter of right or wrong, it's a matter of what resonates in the student when they hear what they hear, and that the truth when you find it is that which is going to liberate you from anything that's false. And so it's a wonderful piece of work, or several very nice pieces of work that he's done in comparing the Course in Miracles with the Way of Mastery. And as I said, whenever you mention a lesson in our internet talks, I end up looking it up. It's a really nice to have the access through the internet to go directly to whatever lesson is being referenced and read it that way.
Right. Well, one of the things that the Course says about itself, and when people get into, and of course you can tell a lot about the world of false perception simply by the questions people ask, and the Course itself says the truth cannot be spoken in words. So is the Course in Miracles correct? Is it true? Is the Way of Mastery true? No, neither of them are. Because what's going on in the actual world? We've talked before about the fact that there's, in a time frame, according to some Harvard research, where 10,000 brain cells fire, there are 10,000 electrical units of activity going on in the brain, that the max amount of information that can come to conscious awareness is 9 bits. And so when you're looking at a 9-bit mind filtered through 10,000 brain cells firing, and it's been estimated in that same time frame there are approximately 20 trillion bits available, it's like we've got a 20 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle out there, and all of humanity through all time has put together one little corner of the jigsaw puzzle, 5 billion pieces out of 20 trillion, and they've made up a story about those 5 billion pieces and say, I'm sticking to my story and here are my words to tell you about it. And we haven't even started to approach the 20 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle with our words. You know, Yeshua has this experience. You know, let's imagine that we've got a language meter and it goes from 1 to 100. And Yeshua, I suspect in his day, probably the language level on a scale of 1 to 100 in terms of what could you express that could possibly be true about the actual world of the Creator and that the Creator created. And it might be a level 6 then. I suspect we're perhaps at about a level 4 right now. And you'll remember that Yeshua says, there are so many things I want to tell you, but you can't hear them yet. You know, we don't have the brain cells for them. We're still looking at a 5 billion piece jigsaw puzzle, or pardon me, a corner of a 20 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle, our 5 billion pieces, and we think we've got the story right. We think we've got the truth. So Yeshua, let's imagine he has this experience, which we're told he did, and he experiences on this scale of 1 to 100, he experiences level 94 truth. And he comes back, and there are the disciples, hat in hand, saying, yeah, now tell us all about it. Well, if he just went up and experienced the 94, and we've got a level 6 language, what can he tell us about it? Where are we going to put those words? There just is no place for them. And we've been hypnotized by our story about our 5 billion piece jigsaw puzzle. That's why the Course, that's why this work, that's why Yeshua's work on forgiveness is, let go of your story, let go of the pieces of the puzzle you think you understand, because you've made it up. Your bloodline is patterned in making up a story about what's true. And the truth is, none of it's true about anything that's actual. You want to know what truth is? Hold a newborn child. Now put that in words. Duh. How do you put that in words? We were in an alternative school back I guess it was about 2 years ago, out in Washington State, and there were these kids who were 14, 15, 16, and they'd all been in some kind of trouble or had been kicked out of the regular school system. And we got the opportunity to go in with work to work with these brilliant genius kids. And Jeannie's asking the question about how many have ever held a newborn and described the essence of the newborn. And she's writing things on the board and having to ask them to spell them, these words they're coming up with. And there's one little girl who's about 16, and she's just waving her hand back there at the back. And she's like, oh, and she's got, I don't remember what the words were now, but she's got two descriptors to add. And she looks at the list on the board and she says, and I have a 2-year-old daughter. And you know, all those words are true about my 2-year-old daughter, but they don't even start to capture who she is. The Course, the Way of Mastery, can't even start to capture the 20 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle. Forget it. But what it can do is it can give us the tools with which we can collapse the false world we see, the world of false perception that the Course aims at creating, and give us a direct experience of it. If you've ever had a spiritual experience, things open and it's like, oh my goodness. And then you come back and you try to talk about it and you go, no words. There's no way to say anything about it. Yeah, over time you might teach your mind a little bit about how to speak about it. But so what the Course is aiming at is to give us that direct experience and to give it to us over and over and over again so that we together can begin to function out of that experience, of course, together, individually and collectively, function out of that experience and create an experience here that accurately reflects the 20 trillion bit world instead of the cultural, family, historic stories that we have that don't reflect the actual world at all. So perhaps that will bring up a question or two for somebody, and if it does, we'd love for you to push one and ask your question. Jeannie, any questions in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
We had somebody with a, oh, there they come. 970, you're on the air.
is Carrie.
Yeah. Hey guys, it's Carrie in Colorado.
Carrie?
I just have a couple minutes I can talk, but I have been really doing something awesome. It's been helping me a lot, and it's I've been reading a lot about quantum physics and various aspects of it, and the field of infinite possibilities, and I believe that this really, the Aramaic language really was talking about quantum physics in many ways. But one of the coolest things that I've gotten in touch with lately is that whatever we put our attention on, and it may be subconscious attention, as in all the things that we're working to cancel out of our being, we are holding that matter in form, so to speak, or we're projecting that into our world. We're holding that tuning. I always say we're holding that tuning fork inside of us that causes that resonance to keep being reflected back to us. And what I've gotten in touch with, and I'm so excited about, is that there are, at any given moment in time, there are infinite possibilities, unlimited possibilities, that by us allowing ourselves to let go of that old stuff, drop into the field, there are millions and billions of different pieces of information that can then create our reality that's coming up next as we let go. And I love that. It's kind of giving me this sense of letting go and play and freedom, and which I would see being like a newborn, you know. And I know I can see in myself there are still things to let go of. And as I give myself to that unlimited field of possibilities, I can see what bounces up that's maybe slightly in the way, and I go, okay, let's cancel that goal. And so I just wanted to share that because it's really been a really neat, freeing piece for me that's helping me almost breathe life into allowing. You know, I think it's so easy to be stuck in these ways of thinking. I mean, I know I have had traditional ways of thinking, you know, that came from my family or from society or how I thought life should unfold. And even as much of a wild kind of free adventurous person as I've been, I still, you know that a lot of those things have run my life. And so as I'm canceling goals, as I'm letting go and breathing, and just knowing that there's just unlimited possibilities, if by me gently placing my attention on those, they can begin coming into form, you know, like perfectly to kind of fill in behind all that old stuff I'm letting go of. So I just
great point.
That. Yeah, see
great
what your
point.
Thought is on that.
And you know, what you're really speaking about is creatorship. That we,
right,
as human beings made in the image and likeness of the Creator, are creators, and that what we focus on literally has an effect in the quantum field, in this energetic soup in which we live, move, and have our being. You know, you go back to the creation story, and it speaks about the earth was waste and void, and the Spirit or the breath of God moved across and more accurately says hovered across the face of the waters, or we could say the void, and that as that focus, as that hovering over strengthened the quantum field in that regard, there was a manifest world, and we were given the power to do exactly that. And of course, the kings of the world would like to run that power for us rather than have it for ourselves. And so what they've done is basically taught us to hover around, to focus on our fear, our grief, our pain, our rage, thereby creating a whole false world that is not only not real, but not necessary to even experience ever again.
Absolutely.
People say, well, what about if somebody does this? Yeah, then you'd be in pain, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, I might be. And then I go to work and remove my pain and shift into something different. Because if there is pain in it, that's the Creator's way of informing us that we're focused in an area that isn't productive, that isn't useful for our human lives. And the whole game seems to be about what's useful for you productively experiencing your human life. Creatorship.
Right. So awesome. So awesome. It's
it is.
So awesome. When you start getting that everything exists in waveform, in unmanifest, and as we allow ourselves to live more fully in our hearts, to let go more of our interruptive, so to speak, thought patterns, and to just allow ourselves to be present with the incredible magic and beauty that can come into being. That's so powerful.
Yes.
So excited.
And, you know, something we haven't talked about on the show in a while is carbon-based memory. And that might be a good thing to plug in here, because that's where those frequencies come from in terms of generational patterns that tend to keep us in the same old generational realities. And, you know, if you ask a modern-day physiologist what your so-called physical body is made of in this quantum soup, they'll tell you that its base element is carbon. And then you recognize that carbon is an element that's made of primarily of six electrons, six protons, six neutrons, and you end up with the number 666. This carbon-based memory system holds the frequencies, the generational patterns that tend to lock us into that particular form of creation. And the forgiveness process is what allows us to delve into what's in carbon-based memory, the things that we've focused on and hovered over and, you know, talked about and made real for ourselves. The forgiveness process empowers us to let go of those things so that we can create another possibility. And as you say, they're limitless. Good point. Getting trapped in the 666 carbon-based memory. You know, they knew exactly what they were speaking about. You know, if you listen to Paul, he said that the goal of the work was to be of like mind with Christ, which isn't a religious idea. In the Aramaic language, that word Christ was actually a word that represented the oils that they would use. They would actually, it literally means the buttered one, the anointed one who had awakened spiritually. And there was a mind that Yeshua lived in, and that mind was literally the mind that we're designed to live in, which is the mind of God. Again, hold the newborn child. You know exactly what God's about. You know exactly what human life is about. You know that you're the offspring of God, and that's where you're designed to live. And somebody wants to convince you that a fear-based mindset worked better to get into relationship with God. And if that's what's been pounded into us through the generations, then the terror at letting go of the doctrine and the dogma that locks us into something that's absolutely unlike the love of God is insane. And it's carbon-based memory, that mind which goes against living in the mind of Christ, or the Antichrist, which is our own physiological structure that holds these generational patterns. And as you forgive and let go of those, all of a sudden, a whole different possibility shows up.
I absolutely love that description. I always have. It's one I really like to remind myself of. Really, really good. Thank you. All
delighted.
Right, then. Off to the field of infinite possibilities.
All right.
Breathing.
Love and blessing. Thanks for the
breathing
call.
And smiling.
Yes, breathing.
Okay. To you guys,
all right,
too.
Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have two more callers.
Oh, well, let's go for it. We've only got about 5 minutes.
Okay. Area code 918, you're on the air.
Hello. This is Lady Jane calling.
Well, hey there, young lady. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. I've got everything you said today I had some comment on. You know, you would switch around and I would go, yeah, what about da-da-da? But I've heard her before, the girl from Colorado. What's her name? Do you remember?
Yes, Carrie.
Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She seems to be so aware what's happening.
She's been doing her work for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
I first met Carrie about 30 years ago up in Michigan, and she's been doing parallel ways of work, and then about 2 years ago started to pick up the worksheets, and she's just really on it and going for it.
Well, one of the things that she seems younger. I don't know whether she is or not, but she does, younger than me.
She's just
anyway,
a kid, like you are.
I was going to comment on that when we were doing the 9-bit mind, and that explanation I like, but it's been my experience that people are much more aware, I'd say, in the last 3 or 4 years than they've ever been before. In other words, that may be changing, evolving, because like the
youngsters
come in, they're far more evolved than we are.
Absolutely.
Can you comment on that?
The kids are really, well, I'm in agreement. When I look back 40 years ago when I was talking about that stuff, people look at me like I was some kind of a wacko. And now, even in the most conservative circles, rarely do I get somebody who doesn't at least say, they may say, oh, I don't agree with you, but tell me that again. What was that you were saying?
Yeah.
You know, there's a desire to know, even if the awareness isn't there. So, yeah, there's definitely a shift. And, of course, Yeshua said a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And what
right.
we're looking to do is to create the leavening that changes the whole game for everybody.
Yeah, and I think it is changing. And I think, you know, I think that's what we all do that are in this business. You know, we set it up so that we can share with others and have it all expand into one beautiful loaf of bread.
There you go, the leavening that leavens the whole loaf.
Right. I got one other thing to say, and that was about Dr. Tim and I were very much into the Way of Mastery, and to me it was easier than The Course in Miracles. That's me. That doesn't mean, and I remember I gave you the book, and then I called you and asked if you were reading it a long time ago. But we did it for 2 years at church. We went through the whole book and then did it again.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Lynn and I are doing it again now. Now, the only reason I suggest that it was easier for me. Anyway, I wanted to tell people who might be interested, it's called the Shante Cristo, and S-H-A-N-T-I, then C-H-R-I-S-T-O. That's the name of the organization if they wanted to order a book, but that's never been mentioned. Okay.
If somebody wants to get a book, they can go to or Google Shante Cristo. They're the publishers of The Way of Mastery.
Right. There you go.
Cool.
All right. I just figure since it's been mentioned several times that somebody might want to know that. Okay. I'm.
Right.
I enjoyed the show today and. We're all learning, growing. Thank you.
Well, we
thank
appreciate
you
having on our team, young lady. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we have 6 more minutes and 828. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Magda from Missouri. Hello.
Welcome,
how
neighbor.
How are you doing?
We heard about the awesome worksheet that you did yesterday. That was fabulous work. What a piece of insight.
Oh, wonderful. Great. It's just such a pleasure to do that with folks. Yeah. And I'm calling for a couple of reasons. Number one, happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Indeed. Happy everlasting life day. And the other reason I'm calling is because a couple of us have had a discussion about a question that came up for me regarding number 7 on the worksheet, which is where we formulate a goal, a new goal, for the person who was the focus of our attention, our trigger. And so my question around that is, is this, in fact, a goal that is going to be canceled in the evening along with all of our other goals? And I have confusion around that.
Okay. Well, in the last analysis, the idea, you know, if you listen to that video, Getting the Stress You Need, the idea is that you only want stresses that are useful to you at any given time. And so If that goal isn't useful to you at this moment, you would cancel it. And then when you go to sleep, what you're going to do is look to be totally and completely stress-free while sleeping, and recognizing that stress is created when you hold a goal, then before sleep, every goal of every form in any way at all, you're letting go of before sleep so that you sleep stress-free. So the mind can totally and completely get quiet, and you can move into that space of deep rest. And then tomorrow, let's say you're going to interact with the person that you you had that goal for, then you might be resetting that goal first thing in the morning so that you've got the motivation to do what's in harmony with your highest and best intentions and goals. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And what my mind is thinking right now is, oh, my goodness, I have so many wonderful goals that I have developed, because most of my worksheets are about me, and so most of my goals then are about me as well. And there are so many wonderful goals, I would have to be resetting numerous goals every morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and if you're going to be the manager of your own mind, that's what you want to do. If you're going to get the deepest rest possible, then you're going to let go of any goals before sleep. And then which ones are going to be useful to me? You know, and you couldn't tell it by the way the Greeks translated it, but where you hear Yeshua saying, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. That word evil has actually at least two proper interpretations from the Aramaic. One is it ties in with the word sin. It's an archery term. When someone fires at the target and misses the bullseye but hits the target, the scorekeeper would yell, sin, you're off the mark. And, you know, relative to the human system, when we take in an energy that doesn't belong, that's sin, that's off the mark. And then if one missed the target altogether, the scorekeeper would yell, evil, you've missed totally. But a second proper interpretation would be, you know, imagine I've got a grapefruit tree in front of me, and the grapefruit are all still totally green. We would say in Aramaic, those grapefruit are evil. Mm. Not that there's anything wrong with them. They're just not finished yet. They're incomplete. So when you hear Yeshua saying, when you go back to the Aramaic in context, you hear Yeshua saying, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. He's saying, you don't want to have any active goals beyond your next waking period. So when I get up in the morning, what stresses do I want to have? Well, gee, I've got to make an application for this. I want to write a letter to them. I have to pay this bill. I need to arrange to order this product. Those are all useful stresses. So I'm going to wake up in the morning when I do my mind goal management sheet, and I'm going to put letter to Bill, I'm going to put order the new TV, I'm going to, you know, whatever those things are, and set those as goals. And if there's one for me in particular, like for instance, maybe I just really have this goal to be more and more the true being that I am, then in the morning when I wake up, my goal is to be more and more the true being that I am. And maybe if I find myself not doing that, I need to forgive, so I'm going to tie in with the goal of, if I find myself being unloving, I'm going to forgive. And so that would be the kind of stress that will really serve in that next waking period.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're down to just a few seconds, so we're going to have to close out the show. And if there's more conversation we can have about that topic, that would be awesome. See you in Gainesville tonight, Unity of Gainesville. We hold you in the blessing and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.